do something that calls us to action, to take action in some way. And I like to, you know, say, okay, this is what we've learned and this is what I want you to do. And it's very rare that I will give a lesson where it's more academic, where I just give information. Because to me, that information without any kind of, you know, action, anything to compel you to move forward, a specific thing to compel you to move forward, it doesn't really do anything for us. It just becomes more useless information that goes in one ear and out the other. Tonight is going to be a little bit different because what I want to talk about really is going to hopefully give you some new distinctions on what it means to grow in your relationship with God. And if you think about that, that's a pretty bold statement, to get new distinctions from a book that's as old as the Bible. And so as I was reading, and this was really in my own reading, I come to see something that I thought was really interesting. Tonight we're going to be talking about overcoming your own head. Now, what do I mean by that? In psychology, the idea might be being too cerebral, spending too much time in your own mind. And in order for you to make the connections that we're going to make, that I believe just the information will compel you to live more for God, in order to make those distinctions, I really have to get clear on what this means. And I'm taking this from both James chapter 1 and James chapter 4. If you look at where it talks about being double-minded here, both in chapter 1 and chapter 4, it uses a Greek word that's used only twice in the New Testament. You only see it right here. The Greek word for double-minded really has two meanings. It means to be of split mind, and it also means to be of split soul. So this is specifically talking about somebody's faith in Christ. And if you kind of have faith, but you're not really sure, you don't really believe, then you're a double-minded man. And so it's the idea of having a split soul or having a split mind. Now, I really want to give this a broad context, and I believe Scripture allows that, because it says here that you're double-minded. Not only are you double-minded because you believe but you doubt in that specific instance, but it also says that you're unstable in all that you do. So this not being certain if I really believe and doubting trickles down into every other area of our lives. And so whenever I talk about new distinctions that you may have never heard before, If you look at basic psychology, and I find this stuff really fascinating, and you look at many of the ailments of the brain, those ailments come from a person having dual thoughts that they cannot reconcile within their own minds. And so these are the kind of things that you see. Some of these may affect you more than others. I know many of them have affected me from time to time. Stress, anxiety, being indecisive, worrying about things. But these are all things that a psychologist will tell you happens when a person is too cerebral, okay? When a person is in their mind for too long trying to decide on things, trying to, you know, decide on a belief system or go in a direction, and they don't choose a path. It drives us crazy in many ways. And we see from James chapter 1 that the idea is that person is unstable. And today, if you were to ask me about someone and I said to you, man, they're just really an unstable person, you would think that that person probably had some mental challenges or issues. They might be a little bit crazy, right? They don't have control of their own mind. And so when we talk about being double-minded, we're going to talk about not being sure we believe in Christ, but we're also going to be talking about the other areas of life that are directly affected by being double-minded. And so this was kind of new to me, to look at these scriptures in this way and see if I really am not all in my relationship with God, and if I am kind of going down that path, but I take detours, these are the kinds of things that are going to happen in my mind. And while you may have never verbalized this in this way before, some of you probably already see many of these things in your own life. You just never had words for it. So what it can really do, if we're double-minded, it can cause a crisis of identity. Whenever a child, you know, around the age of 4 or 5, whenever they really start to develop this personality and kind of start to become their own kid, they are just crazy and off the wall, and you see their personality so vibrantly, and nothing is slowing them down. And there's nothing inside a kid's head that says, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this because people are watching me, or maybe this type of part of my personality is unacceptable, okay? They are just that beautiful, natural self, okay? The nature of that child, who they are meant to be. What happens, though, as we get older, that kind of starts to change, doesn't it? Because we see people around us and we begin to become aware of other people. And I kind of look at it like conversations I've had with college students in the past. This scripture here, it's really interesting because we see that it's Christ speaking of how God has revealed these things, revealed the Word to children, not to those who are wise and learned, because those are the people who could have dual ideas, that will be double-minded, that will not accept the Word for what it is. And I don't have a better term for this, but it's something I've seen over the years within youth and college ministry, and it is what I call the awakening. And it's when a young person starts to really realize that other people see them and the things that they do affect other people, and maybe they've hurt people for whatever reason, and they just now are kind of beginning to realize that other people have emotions and they hurt just like I do. And what happens with many people, and I see this with girls more in high school, sometimes in college, guys in late high school and in college, that they start to withdraw from kind of their natural self. And they start to lose confidence and they start to become indecisive because they now have all of these things that they're battling with in their head. That's really the first thing I see. The second thing I see is whenever the young Christian realizes that there's one way to go to live a Christian life and walk as a Christian, and then there's another way to go if I want to do something that I really want to do. And I see that that's not on the right path, but I'm just kind of coming to this realization that I have these dual desires, kind of like Paul said, you know, he knows what to do and doesn't do it. So anytime we make the decision, or anytime we play with the idea that we're going to do something else but live for Christ, it really causes a crisis of our natural identity to do so. James chapter 1 verse 22 gives us an idea, and again, this is another verse we've probably read 1,000 times, but if you read it in this context, it gives us this idea that we understand and we remind ourselves of what our natural identity looks like, okay? That we belong to God and we're living for Him. But what happens whenever we walk away from this? Not only we forget what we look like, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, it's really interesting because if we look back to the very beginning when it said that the person who is double-minded, not only are they double-minded in their belief in God, but they're unstable in everything that they do. Okay, the person that remembers their identity being in Christ and lives that identity out, they are blessed in what they do. And I kind of see this as being the antithesis of being double-minded. It's knowing what the law says, it's knowing what God's Word says, and walking away and doing that thing. And if it is the antithesis of being double-minded, then we also see that it gives us confidence, it gives us decisiveness, it causes us to be at peace and not to worry, again, you probably see just intuitively that many of the things that I'm saying are true. You also see that our mind is always enslaved. And I don't know if you realize that, if we've really ever termed it in that way. When we have this duality, when we have this fight going on inside of us that causes all of these characteristics of being double-minded, we have two masters kind of at battle within our brains. And it's a really neat idea to think we're in control of our own lives. And you might say, well, if I'm not a Christian and I'm, you know, not living for God, then I'm in control. It could be true that Satan hasn't called you to task in that moment, but that would be as if I was a slave, but it was nighttime and I wasn't having to do anything, so I'm sleeping, so I'm not being called on and saying I'm not a slave, right? Because you're not being called on in the moment, but at any moment that master can make me do whatever he wants me to do. We're always enslaved in the mind. This is another verse that we've read many, many times. And we get this idea here that once someone becomes a Christian, once they make the choice that they're going to live for Christ, there is an exchange of the baton, okay? It's an exchange of control. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. Now, that's a choice. Again, we don't have to become slaves of God, but if we're not a slave of God, we're slaves of Satan. So we are always being mastered. And when we talk about being mastered, we're talking about our hearts, we're talking about our souls, and we're talking about our minds, right? Our minds always are in control, are being controlled, or have the ability to be controlled by a higher power than us. And so we see all of these things that come up in our lives when we make the choice that we're not going to live for God this time, or we're not going to be all in. So what really is the answer to this question? This really just explains the answer, and then I'm going to give you a really simple solution at the end. And what's really interesting about this is the last slide in this presentation, really I could have said at the very beginning. But if I would have said it at the very beginning, this is what we need to do and it will give you this, you would have said, I got it. Because the law of familiarity sets in. And what should have great value when you've heard it over and over and over again has very little value. And my hope is when we get to this point, and I say, this is what we need to do, you'll say, absolutely, because you have the foundation and it really makes sense. But for now, we need to intentionally fill our minds. And I use the term intentionally fill on purpose because we see in Colossians chapter 3 this idea of a mind being filled. We actually see this in two different places. Now, the wording that's used here, again, another verse we've read over and over again, dwell among you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Okay, if you look at the Greek word for richly here, it's the word plesios. And the word plesios means to extravagantly fill. Okay? The word plesios means to extravagantly fill. Let the word of Christ extravagantly fill you. Okay? Now, in order to be extravagantly full of the word of Christ, you won't go 5 minutes in your day without thinking of some scripture that applies to something. You won't go 5 minutes in your day without thinking of something that relates to your Christian walk. You won't go all day without quoting scripture. You won't go all day without saying a prayer. If you're extravagantly filled up with God's Word. And then we can also take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And if we look here where it talks about purifying ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, this is Paul talking, saying, make room for us in your hearts. Now, we know that the church at Corinth had a lot of problems, had a lot of issues that they were dealing with, living in sin rather than living for God. And he's saying, you need to make room for us in your hearts. Okay? So why is this knowledge important? Because if we're not continually filling our hearts and filling our bodies and living extravagantly, making our bodies an extravagant dwelling for God, if that's not what's in there, something else is going to fill the gap, right? It's not going to stay empty. So this is the idea, this is really the solution to prioritize one mind every morning. And I like whenever somebody comes to me and they say, hey, this is something I've done in my own life and I know that it works. There's something powerful about that to me, to somebody I can physically see and talk to who said that they have done something. So I kind of want to share something that I've done in my own life. And this is by no means, you know, the example or really the only thing you can do. But I can tell you all of those things that we labeled earlier about worry and stress and anxiety and being indecisive, you know, being double-minded, all of those things that we mentioned in the last several years of my life, I can directly relate my growth as a Christian and being less double-minded to what I'm getting ready to show you. So during the week, myself and one of the other college students in our group, we work out together. And he comes over early in the morning and we work out first thing. But before we work out, we say a prayer. And the prayer will usually go something like this. We'll say, God, you know, thank you for just blessing us with the physical ability to be able to work out this morning. Thank you for us having the energy to be able to do so. God, please help us to use this energy throughout our day today to serve you and help us to be bright lights for you, something like that. And we usually kind of take turns in saying that prayer first thing in the morning. This says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God and the peace of God. Now this is what I really want to connect together. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I'm going to say it a little differently. Pray to God. The peace of God will guard your minds. So praying to God is something that guards our minds, and it guards us against this double-mindedness we're talking about. That's really the first thing. The second thing here comes from Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough worry of its own. What I really want to talk about here is prioritizing. We did a lesson recently on worry in our college class, and it was saying, these are the things you do not to worry. And it mentioned this verse, and it said, if we prioritize God in our lives, then knowing that He's the creator of everything, knowing that He has us in His hands, knowing that He is in control, reminds us that everything is going to be okay. And so prioritizing God is extremely important. Another thing that I do, after we work out, I'll jump in the shower. And sometimes before, sometimes after, I'll get my Bible out and I read from Psalms, and I do that every morning. There is a verse in Psalms. It's Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, and it says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And the Hebrew word there for number really has two meanings, and the meanings are to prioritize and organize our days. So we prioritize our days for God and we organize them for Him. And this helps us to be on the right track, to be moving in the right direction, to not have this dual battle going on in our heads. When we know who's in control, it causes us to worry, to have stress, to be indecisive less, because our path is very clear. and we can be very confident in that path. Then the final thing that I do, before I begin my work day, I have these different categories that I always want to be growing in my life. And I really have six of them. And the very first category is faith. And so I begin my day by looking at this category and saying a short prayer about my faith and my relationship with God. And then I go to the next category, which is my relationship with my wife, and then so on and so forth until I've hit all six of these. But it primes me for the day to remember what's most important. And whenever something butts up against that, whenever an action or a task or something that I need to do comes in conflict with what's most important, I'm primed to remember what is most important. Now, you can do any or all of these things. The important thing is that if you're a person that ever worries, or if you're a person that has anxiety, if you're someone that just seems stressed out all the time, or maybe you have some more difficult issues like, you know, paranoia or schizophrenia, or, you know, you have multiple personalities. Maybe you have some of these things that, if unchecked, some of this double-mindedness will lead to. The answer truly is God from the very beginning. And I said all that to say this, and I didn't put this slide at the very beginning, because guess what? You live for God and you will be at peace. Wow, that's actually true, isn't it? I could have said that at the very beginning, or I could say that to somebody who has some challenge, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, and just go on. It's pretty simple, isn't it? As complicated as I just made it, it's pretty simple. Live for God and you'll be at peace. And I do want to challenge everyone here, if you will take the time every morning and prime yourself to live a day for God, prime yourself to remember that He's first priority, prime yourself by talking to Him and reminding yourself that He is the one that is in control, that double-mindedness will become less and less and less. You'll be more of one mind. Tonight, if you want to be in Christ, you really can't do that unless you are a Christian. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. To have that remission of your sins, we're immersed with Christ in baptism." If you would like to do that, if you have any other needs or would like prayers for any of the things that were mentioned tonight or anything else, please come forward while we stand and sing.